There's a place where I sing new songs of praise.
Here we go.
Dancing with my Father God, fields of grace. Dancing with my Father God, fields of grace.
2, 3, here we go.
There's a place where I lose myself in you. There's a place where I find myself again.
Sing it out.
Dancing with my Father God to fields of grace. Dancing with my Father God to fields of grace.
1, 2, 3, here we go.
There's a place where religion finally dies. There's a place where I lose my selfish pride.
Here we go.
Dancing with my Father God in fields of grace. Dancing with my Father God in fields of grace.
Well, I love my Father.
Ooh, I love my Father. My Father loves me. I dance for my Father. My Father sings over me. Ooh, I love my Father. My Father loves me. I sing for my Father. My Father sings over me. Ooh, and nothing can take that away from me. Ooh, and nothing can take that away from me. There's a place where religion finally dies.
Sing it out.
There's a place where I lose my selfish pride.
1, 2, 3, here we go.
Dancing with my Father God in fields of grace. Dancing with my Father God in fields of grace.
Sing it out. Sing it out.
Dancing with my Father God in fields of grace.
One more time.
Dancing with my Father God in fields of grace.
Hey, amen. Thank you. Woo! Please have a seat.
I tell you what, yesterday at Joel Rumener's memorial service, we should have sung that. Amen. I mean, he was something else in terms of the man of dance of the state of Arkansas. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church, members and guests. I am so glad to see you here today. We're so glad that you came to worship. And I perhaps put my most unpopular post on Facebook this morning. Are you as eager to come to worship Jesus as you are to see Paul McCartney? I think I had 3 likes. But every Sunday, should we not really come with that sense of presence and expectation that we're excited to come and worship Jesus, who's got greater power, a greater voice than any superstar that we have ever seen or known? Amen. So I just want to turn right now over for the announcements to our youth. Bradley and Josh have something to share with you this morning, and then I've got a few more things to share.
My name is Bradley Fryer.
And I'm Josh Dawson.
And we're a member of the Asbury Youth Group, and we're here this morning to ask you for help. We have 11 students signed up to go to Ozark Mission Project, and we don't have enough adults to come with us. OMP requires us to bring 1 adult for every 4 students. So as of right now, only 4 of us will be able to go. We are really looking forward to OMP because it's fun, and we like to help people out, and it's also a life-changing experience.
If you can come with us as a chaperone, please talk to Amy. It's June 19th through the 25th in Mountain View, Arkansas. Our trip is paid for. We just need you to come with us. Chaperones are responsible for leading a group of 4 youth during the week. You'll make a difference in the lives of students and of the people we will serve together. Please prayerfully consider coming with us so that we will be able to all serve on this mission trip together. Thank you.
You know, that was June or July 19th? June. Now, who could resist spending almost a week with those guys? So I hope that God will answer their prayers, because many of you have been to OMP as young people, and you don't want just four to have that experience. You want as many as possible to be able to go. So I hope that you will prayerfully consider. And Amy, I'm sure, will give you all the information you need and will make it as easy for you as possible. But I certainly hope that someone will answer their plea. They're making that plea in all three services today, so surely the Lord will bless us with someone. We had a wonderful Senior Sunday last Sunday, and next Sunday is confirmation. No, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day on the 8th. Some people on Facebook, again, must think today is, because I'm seeing a lot of mother pictures. But either way, maybe they're just going to celebrate all week long. But Mother's Day is next week, and all the women of the church will receive a little gift as they come to worship. And we thank God for our parents. And then the next Sunday is Confirmation Sunday at 10:45 Divine. And our young people, for those of you that don't know what confirmation is, our young people have been going through classes where they learn not only about the United Methodist Church, but they learn more about the church in general, what founded the Christian church. We've done some study on John Wesley that actually founded the Methodist Church. We've done some study on Jesus Christ, obviously. And this evening, I'm going to be doing a class with the young people on social principles. And pray for me, because those are some sensitive topics, and I get some really interesting questions about our views on some major things that we deal with in society and we deal with in terms of our own faith. So I'm looking forward to meeting with the young people tonight at 6 o'clock. So that's what's going on the next couple of weeks with Mother's Day and then Confirmation. So I hope that you all will now stand up and greet one another in the name of Christ. And don't forget to please sign the attendance pad so we can greet you. Thank you.
All right, put your hands together.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart.
So remember.
So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God of Jacob. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along.
Come on, sing along.
So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, O God.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Sing it out. Yeah.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God.
All right, sing it out with us. Here we go.
Your grace is enough.
Is enough.
Your grace is enough.
It's enough.
Your grace is enough for me.
Yeah,
your grace is enough. Heaven reaches out to us. Your grace is enough for me. God, I sing, your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me. It's enough for me.
Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. Deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Thank you so much.
Good morning. How are y'all today? Good. said, we just heard a lot of really good music, didn't we? Yeah. Do you love music? Music plays, it's a pretty important place in our lives, isn't it? I love music. Do you know what I did? This is like really, don't anybody judge me, but do you know I didn't grow up in church? I didn't grow up when I was little in church. Do you know where I learned the Lord's Prayer? In a Prince song. It's in a song. If you didn't know that, that's where the Lord's Prayer is. It's in one of the songs. That's where I learned it. So you can learn music anywhere. But I will say one of the best places to learn music and where I love to sing it is in our hymnal. And there's some really good songs in here. One of my favorites is To God Be the Glory. It's a really pretty song about praising God. And another of my all-time favorites is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. One of my very favorites. And do you know what those songs have in common? The same person wrote them. This person, her name was Fanny Crosby, and she wrote thousands of hymns and poems and songs for hymnals, all praising God. But little Fanny Crosby, when she was 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. And her doctor was out of town, and a man posing as a doctor gave her the wrong medicine. And guess what? It made her blind. But she wasn't bitter. She didn't grow up to be bitter and blame that doctor for giving her the wrong thing. Do you know what she did? When she was 8 years old, she wrote a poem, and I'm going to read you this poem. It says, "Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." So instead of being bitter and feeling sorry for herself, she used the gifts that God gave her and wrote over 8,000 hymns and poems. Now, when Jesus was walking with his disciples one day, he was walking down a road and he encountered a blind man. And his disciples asked him and said, "Jesus, who's to blame for him being blind?" Jesus said, "Nobody. Nobody's to blame. He didn't do anything. It wasn't his sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. God just made him blind so he can show his works through him." And then you know what Jesus did? Do you remember the story of the blind man? Anne Marie, didn't he heal him and made it to where he could see again? Well, God did not heal Fanny. He didn't make it to where Fanny could see again. But I think that why he didn't do that is because if Fanny, she might not have written all of those songs. She might not have written all of those songs to glorify God and fill this book full of songs that she wrote. So that she used the tragedy of her blindness to show God's work. Okay? So let's pray. Dear Lord, the difficulties in our life seem small when compared to what others may be facing. When compared to what others may be facing, help us not to grumble and complain, but to praise and glorify you in every situation. Amen.
I hope you've had a moment to look through the bulletin and see those that we need to keep in our prayers. I would ask that you add Diane Gardner. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, on this Sabbath day, we are excited to come and worship Jesus. We are thrilled that we can rise in the morning and be focused upon coming to worship and coming to fellowship and expecting that blessing from doing that. And God, may we not always be just receivers. May we remember to give of our hearts, to give our presence, to give our gifts, to serve you with delight, and to witness our faith. For those are not just the vows that we have made, but they are the vows to be kept. And in this moment of prayer, we lift before you those that are in our church, that need our prayers. We lift up to you those that are in our hearts, but their names are unspoken. We lift to you the prayers of which we are unaware, but you know. And we lift up to you above all praise, knowing that you hear all the prayers, that you are so happy when we pray, that you are so glad when we praise you, and that you are there for us when we come and need solace and comfort. And God, there are so many around the world right now that need comforting, not only in our small circle, not only in our town and our state and our country, but those around the world that are grieving from the loss of community, the loss of lives, the loss of livelihood, like Ecuador in the aftermath of the earthquake, like those who have been in the path of a tornado, like those who are bombed and they were just trying to live. They were just trying to live out an ordinary life, but in a country that knows nothing but strife. So God, our hearts are heavy today for all of those who are grieving and need hope. But Jesus taught us that whenever we pray, that there is power. So we're going to call on the power of this prayer to alleviate, if for just a moment, the suffering of those whom we will never meet, whom we will never know, until one day we are united as one. So God, we thank you for those, and we ask your protection again for those who are making it possible for us to come in freedom and pray. We come before you today, especially as we are about to partake of communion and we have repentant hearts, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins. So God, with these repentant hearts, these hearts that are full of your love and your presence, we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'd invite our ushers to come forward. I believe we do the Lord's Prayer in the liturgy later. As our ushers come forward, Austin was not able to come here for an announcement, but in the other two services, he was sharing that his father, and I didn't realize this, I'm speaking of Austin Pittman, a member of our church that has been instrumental in helping us with our video ministry, and his father actually lives in Ecuador and retired there. And I didn't know that. And he was saying that so many of the larger organizations, the monies and the donations are funneled to the larger cities, but there are villages that don't receive the kind of aid that the larger cities do. So he was just making an appeal that if it's on your heart to help the people in Ecuador following their earthquake, if you would just simply on your check, write a memo, Ecuador, or if you care to, if you don't have an envelope with you, but if you care to make a cash donation, just see me afterwards, and I'll have someone accompany me, and we'll make sure that that goes in an envelope with Ecuador on it. So that's just one of the ways that we engage in mission and ministry, by understanding our world is such a small world, and that our world is touched by lives that are extended out of our own church family. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious Lord, again, it is a privilege and a joy to give to you, because as we give to you, we are thanking you. We're thanking you for all of the blessings, monetarily and otherwise, that you share with us so abundantly. And we realize that we are fulfilling our purpose in Christ as we then go forward and share and give back to those who need it. And we do so in the name of Christ. So bless these gifts and these givers, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
there's a place where mercy reigns, never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. Sing this with us.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. Where my heart has peace with God and your forgiveness. Where all the love we've ever found, oh, come like a flood, come flowing down.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin was. I owe all to you,
well here my hope is found, here on holy ground,
here I bow down, here I bow down,
here arms open wide, here you save my life,
here I
with us.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Your love and mercy.
Jesus.
Before begin our scripture and the message. Have you noticed a few changes in here? Yes. You know, they say that anything worth having is worth waiting for. So this is a work in progress. And I want you to especially be thankful for our celebration band and singers who, especially this week, had to adjust their schedule because of all the activity that was happening here on the stage. I don't know if you can see them or not, but there's two angular metal walls that are going to support some storage walls, which will be helpful. And you may have noticed that, you know, I feel like I'm almost in an optometry office. Is one better or two? So is one better or two? So we've got this new projector and, again, screen. And that, again, took some quite a bit of finagling this week. So, and the woodwork is gorgeous that Jay Greenfield is doing. And that's just a taste of what our worship center in here is going to be looking like. So this really is a multiple used space, obviously with our sports program and our ACCDC playground when it's raining outside, and our fellowship hall for our various fellowship events, and of course our weekly worship here in the celebration service. So just be praising God and be patient as the progress continues to unfold, and we are grateful. So today we are wrapping up the series on the 23rd Psalm, and I will be reading the entire psalm and focusing on verse 6 today. And if you, again, would like to follow along and say that psalm, for those of you that know it, please do so. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This wonderful promise is the word of God for the people of God. So just for a very brief recap on this series, for any of you that might have missed one or two of the Sundays, on the first Sunday we looked at the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and we talked about that life is not only a gift, it is a journey, and it does very little good to take the trip unless we're going to live life with joy and enjoy the journey. And the second Sunday, we looked at the place in the psalm that speaks of dark shadows and dark spaces, the valleys. And it speaks to us in our lives that we know that we can't always live on the mountain, but that every other day or so, we'll probably hit the pit and experience the valley. But that there was a key word, if you'll recall, in that phrase, and that key word is through. For God is with us through the valley, which tells us there's something grand on the other side. And that's the blessing we can not only hope for, but expect and know that is coming. Last week on Senior Sunday, as we thought about the ways that we as a church family and as their parents and teachers have done what they could to prepare our young people for going out of the nest and into the world in their grand adventures of school and other wonderful opportunities, we talked about the shepherd doing all that he could to prepare the grazing land for the sheep, that it would be the most productive for the sheep, that it would be one of sustenance. And of course, again, taking care of the sheep is taking care of the shepherd's own livelihood. And we thought about how God goes to great lengths to prepare for us. And we experience those blessings of God going the extra mile for us and preparing for us as we live out our daily lives. Today, we look at the final blessing or benediction of the psalm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A blessing, a benediction, and a fabulous promise. So as we think about following, goodness and mercy shall follow me, how do you feel about even daring to think that God is following you? As we think about that, we might rethink about where we're going, where we're visiting. Dare we envision a God who follows us? Well, as we look throughout salvation history, we discover that God has always followed his people. And I'm going to run through kind of a hall of fame, if you will, of some of the more familiar people in salvation history and how God has followed them. Abraham. God called Abraham out of Ur. And God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And so Abraham brought that covenant to God's people, and God followed him. God seeks us out, doesn't he? Bringing people to great faith, using us as his instruments. Moses. Moses could tell you a thing or two about God following him. Moses was found in a basket floating along the Nile River, and it was so orchestrated with Jochebed, his mother, in the background, and Miriam, his sister. Just knowing that they would need to assist in nurturing the newborn baby, and the Pharaoh's princess found the baby and took the baby, and Moses' mother and sister assisted and helped. And we know that God followed Moses because we know that later on, as he grew to a man, God confronted Moses in the form of a flaming bush, that Moses would be the one to deliver God's people. And that happened because God followed Moses into the wilderness. Esther. Esther sensed God was following her. You see, Esther was so beautiful. King Xerxes wanted to make her his queen. There was a slight problem. Esther was a Jew. That was against this country's religion. But she kept that a secret. And they married. Until one day, Esther got word that the Jews were in trouble. And she risked her life by revealing her true heritage. Yes. God followed her as she did that for his people. Who can forget Jonah? Jonah was called by God to be a missionary to Nineveh, a place that was ravaged with all kinds of paganism. Jonah didn't want to do that. But then Jonah momentarily forgot who he was saying no to. Got in trouble on the ship, went into the ocean. You know the rest of the story, whale spit him out. Jonah didn't forget, you see, that God is a God who even followed him into the ocean. Mary. God followed a pure maiden named Mary, who was betrothed to be married to Joseph. But God found in Mary this purity, this integrity, this faithfulness, that he said, ah, what a great mother to the Savior of the world she would be. And God poured forth his Holy Spirit upon her mind, her body, and her soul. And God stayed with Mary as she raised her son Jesus Christ, and God followed Mary in her faithfulness. Jesus grew into the perfect human being and the teachers and leader of a great, great new understanding of who God is. And he taught his disciples well and enabled his disciples to know they were being followed by God. Look at them. They're rain-soaked and freaking out in the middle of a storm. But they see Jesus walking toward them. And they found out in that moment that God follows you even in your storm. Lazarus, brother to sisters Mary and Martha, you'll recall the story. He died. The sisters didn't understand why Jesus didn't come right away when he was told that they were sick. But Jesus came, and when he did, and cried out the voice of Christ, "Lazarus, come out." And there was Lazarus, wrapped up like a mummy. He knew he had been followed by God when he heard his name and lifted his head and embodied life again. Isn't that something? God had followed Lazarus into the grave. Peter, impetuous Peter, we love him. The Bible spends a lot of time talking about Peter, letting us in on the life of Peter. Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, who was so devastated by the crucifixion of Christ that he basically just took his fishing pole and just walked out into the sunset. He'd had it. He was done. And then, suddenly, he heard the voice of his risen Lord calling out his name. As his risen Lord was bending over, cooking breakfast for him on the side of the seashore, and it was at that moment that Peter realized that God had followed him even into his failure, despite his failure. John the Apostle. He was exiled to the island of Patmos. The book of Revelation that we have is a marvelous testimony to a culmination of reflection and that isolation, a culmination of belief in his beloved Christ. When he looked up, he saw the skies begin to open. And he realized at that point God had followed him into his own isolation. Jesus, Son of God, born in a mysterious way, raised up by wonderful parents, knowing in a very young age a truth that would be so hard for any of us to fathom, much less believe and much less live, that he was the Son of God. The Son of God who had a very specific purpose to bring people to faith in God in a way that they had never understood God to be before. To save humankind of their sin. And he was faithful and obedient to his purpose. Jesus is the most glorified person that has ever lived and shall ever live because he lives now in human hearts. And it is God that followed him to the point of dwelling in him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's quite a roll call of characters, isn't it? That's quite a list of faithful. That's quite a variety of places that God followed each and every one. Isolation, sin, faithfulness, rejection, No, I'm not going to do that. And God showed up in every single time. We forget that God, our leader, is capable of following us as well. His name was Ben, and Ben's father was John. And Ben was about this high, 4 or 5 years old, and they were going on a hunting trip. They were gone all day. And it was getting close to sunset. This was an area of the woods that his dad, John, wasn't quite as familiar with. And he realized with the sun setting, it was time to head back to the truck. Although he had lost his bearings as to exactly where he had parked that truck. And probably saying out loud, but the son believing he was talking to him, he said, "You know, I believe we may be lost." Ben grabbed the hand of his father. He said, "That's okay, Dad. I'll just follow you." Do you ever feel like you're leading someone and you're the one that's lost? Have you ever felt in your life that you're being led, not knowing that where they're leading you is not the way you should go? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What a beautiful benediction and promise in this psalm. It holds the blessed assurance that as long as we live, we have a good shepherd who is providing for us, who is with us through the valleys, who is giving sustenance to us and loves us and cares for us like no one else can. For all the care, all the work, all the watchfulness are born out of one entity, and that is the entity of love. Now, we've shared this psalm not as the perspective of David the shepherd, but as Christ the shepherd. David wrote this psalm that the Savior, the Lord, would be shepherd over him, one of the flock. But yet, because of his experience as a shepherd, he gives us such insights to this psalm. So when we say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives," it's important to note something about the sheep here. For up until this point in the psalm, we have talked about the sheep being receivers of the shepherd's care, the provisions that are made, the scouting out of the grazing pasture to make sure it's free of thorns and thistles and poisonous weeds and ravaging animals. We've talked about how the mixture of sulfur and linseed oil was there to anoint the sheep, trying to keep away parasites. That later, if they were ravaged by some, that the head was anointed. We've talked about all these things that the shepherd has done to care for the sheep. But the sheep are not just receivers, not just takers. They also give back. As delicately as I can say this, sheep are very beneficial to grazing land. A sheep can consume a wide variety of vegetation. And so they can naturally fertilize the area in which they are grazing. And the proper management of a grazing flock can then turn a piece of land that may be ravaged into one that is a prime grazing area in the future. So in that sense, I guess goodness and mercy do follow the sheep as they graze and cultivate the land. When I look back on the congregations I've served throughout my ministry, I, like you, have experienced a variety of events in people's lives that were pretty devastating. Catastrophic illness, sudden death from car accidents or heart attacks or some other thing like that. Even the atrocity of murder within the church family. And when I've gone to try my best, and I always feel so inadequate, but when I've gone to try to minister to these persons, it's amazing to me the face of God that I experience also. The face of God that is there in the people of God that are not necessarily saying anything, but just lending a rock-solid presence and faith. It's amazing to see the face of God when the people of God get busy doing the things that the people that are in the grips of grief are so numb, they can't think about doing that. But the people of God are busy and they're thinking and they're doing so that they alleviate some of that stress and the details of life. And they're there making sure food is constantly coming in, that there's coffee when visitors come by, that they don't have to worry about picking up the mail if the death is out of town, that they stay in the home if it's local while the funeral's going on, so they don't have to worry about somebody reading the obituary. Oh, well, they'll be gone. That 2 o'clock on Friday is the service. I think I'll hit that home. What an easy strike. The people of God are amazing. And there's nothing that comforts the people of God like the caring and compassion of the people of God. And it comes flowing forth from the Spirit of God living in their hearts. Amen. His steadfast love endures forever. For God is the God who follows. Have you sensed Him following you? Have you sensed God following you in the sudden act of encouragement or kindness from perhaps a random stranger? Have you sensed God following you when you look up at the sunrise, or you're there in the quiet moment when the sun's just beginning to set and it meets the horizon? Are you sensing God follows you when you're driving home from a late night meeting and you see a moon that is so big you feel like you can reach out and touch it? Do you sense God following you in a new friendship, the moment of such insecurity and pain? Have you sensed the presence of God following you in these times? God is following you. And you are purposed for His presence. And as we remember that God is following us, I think we better be darned sure that He's going to like where we're going. That in our daily living, knowing that God is with us, we won't be doing this, "Oh, I hope He doesn't see me today because of what I just said, or what I just bought, or what I just thought, or what I just spent money on." God leads us, you bet. What a great shepherd we have in Christ. But God follows us. May you allow God's presence to be with you, whether it be in the storm, on the mountain, or wherever you are. He is with you. Thank you, God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite the congregation to prepare to enter into a time of sacrament of the Holy Communion. as we begin the liturgy. Christ our Lord invites us to his table, to all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and dead, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread. He gave thanks unto God. He broke the bread, he gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to the Lord and he gave it to his disciples and he said, drink ye all of you from this cup, for it is the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. It is my blood. Drink it all of you in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Poured out your Holy Spirit on us, gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I would invite those who are going to assist me this morning to please come forward at this time.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence. My daily bread. This is my daily bread.
Your very word
spoken to me. This is the air I breathe. is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I
one more time.
So good to be with you in worship today. Let us stand as we have our closing collect and our closing song. Join with me, please. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As our celebration singers and band lead us in our final song, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, would like to profess your personal faith in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, renew that profession, or to pray, we invite you to do so as we sing.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing this with us.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. when darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil.
Sing it out.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found.
Sing it out.
Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Christ alone, Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. He is Lord, Lord of all.
One more time, voices only.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. Amen. It was so wonderful to be in worship with you today. Please receive this blessing. And, oh, Lord, we are so thankful for Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, who leads us and follows us as we go forward in this world today. Help us to remember the words of Christ, that some are not of this flock, and that we need to be part of the shepherds to bring them to the fold. May we go forward now and do just that, sharing Christ to this world, bringing others to know Him. Now may we go in the peace of Christ our Lord. Amen.